So I'm not really much of a petrol head type of guy, but I do enjoy watching the Formula One racing on TV. So this works out really well for me. Most of this, the racing, happens like on a Sunday night as we're sleeping. And then I avoid the radio news and I get up and I watch the replay early on the Monday morning, which is my day off, and I can just sort of enjoy that and see what's happening. So I quite enjoy that. I know some of you will realize that that's not Formula One racing there. But just as an illustration, on the days leading up to the big race, they go out on the track and they have these practice laps, and they try to see how fast they can go, hopefully to get a place up the grid that's going to make it better for them in the race. And then on the day of the race, when everything's ready to go, they go out and they do this sort of formation lap, and they weave around the track and they're trying to warm up the tires, and then they get into the grid where they're supposed to be, and all of a sudden the lights will change and whoa, they're away, all revved up and ready to go. Is that how you feel at the start of the year? And we at church, it's all revved up and ready to go. Summer in our church life is a bit relaxed, isn't it? A bit like a holding pattern, a bit like doing the practice laps. You know, some are away on holiday for a while and some are coming back, and we're starting to get together and we're gearing up towards things. Are we revved up and ready to go? Or, you know, given the sort of year it is, and with the challenges we've been facing with COVID, are things a bit different for you this year? Perhaps you don't quite have the same sort of oomph to get back into things as you might have done on other years. Have you been through the summer maybe reflecting on life and what is important to you, thinking about the things that you really want to focus on in the year ahead? Perhaps with the stresses and strains, you feel less like a Formula One car and more like a Model T Ford. Today, as in a sense we come back to really start the church year after all the holidays are over and the, you know, school started, everything sort of gearing up again. Today, I simply want to encourage you and to let you know the warmth, the goodness, the love of God. I really enjoy being here with our church family. I was thinking earlier this morning, when a minister starts at a new parish, there's sort of a period of time where you don't know people. You quickly get to know them. But the thing that you do know is this: it's not going to be long before I love this people. It's not going to be long before I'm really concerned for this people and interested in this people. And so I've been here nearly 9 years now. So, you know, I just love you guys, and I want you to know the love of the Lord in your lives, and particularly as we come back together today as God's family, as we're launching into this new year. Maybe there are some challenges out of COVID or some other things that are going on in life, but you know, we follow and serve God Almighty, and here in Greyfriars we have our brothers and sisters in the faith around us and with us to express God's love, their love as well for us. And so in our reading today, we had this: therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, then clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive one another if you have any grievances against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. This is the church, the body of Christ. We belong to it. We belong to this family. We belong in this place together. A holy people, dearly loved, forgiving and forgiven, united in love. One of the things that has been part of what I've been thinking of recently has been picking up some reading, and now a number of ministers, a number of authors in the church are really sort of starting to come to grips with what it means to be a church that is going through this crisis with COVID. Now, of course, we don't experience this to the same extent as perhaps the church in the USA or Melanie's sister, my sister and brother-in-law. They haven't been back to church in the UK since March of last year, and they're unlikely to get back even by Easter time, the way that things are there. Now, we may not be feeling it quite the same way here, but the ripples of things that are happening around our world with unemployment and business challenges and finance and health, those things will surely have a ripple-on effect to us, even though we're so sheltered at the moment. And I think what we and what the people of our world need today is to be embraced by a people of compassion and kindness and love. As we step into the ministry's challenges of our church, I want to begin asking you a question. What are you doing here? Depending on how you phrase that question, could sound quite rude. I won't, but you know, if you were to point to someone and say, "What are you doing here?" Now, but that's not how I'm asking this question. But I want you to think about it. What are you doing here? It's a really interesting question. What are you doing here? If you were to take a moment to reflect and to ask yourself, what am I doing here? What would come to mind? How would you answer it? Perhaps I could rephrase it. What's the point of being here? What's the purpose of attending a church? Why am I in this place with these people? What's my role? Now, that's relatively easy for me to answer because I'm standing up the front and preaching. I've got a clear idea of what my role is. But perhaps some of you are thinking, what's my role in all of this? I came across this question late last year in a book called How to Walk into Church by Tony Payne. It's only a very, very small book, so I encourage you to read it because it raises some really interesting questions. One of them, what am I doing here? There's many ways to answer that question. I'm praying. I'm singing praise. I'm worshiping God. I'm listening to His word. I'm seeking His will. I'm listening for His voice. I'm meeting with my sisters, with my brothers in the faith. I'm encouraging them. I'm being spiritually strengthened. I'm serving others. I'm giving to God. I'm partaking in communion. And in your situation, you might give some other parts of answers to that list. What are you doing here? How do you answer that question for yourself? If God was asking you the question, how would you answer that question for God? You might need to think about the purposes of God as we find them in the Bible, the reasons that the church exists, the priorities of God's kingdom, God's call upon your own life, the gifts He gives to you, the way He shaped your life. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? I'm delighting Him. Watching little baby wander around. It's just so sweet, isn't it? Got the keys, exploring, learning. Isn't that marvelous? But what are you doing here? What are you doing here? In February of each year, we ask as our ministries are beginning, and I usually take a moment and ask you to sort of reflect on the year past. And so I've put in the bulletin some of those things that we did, and I hope you find real encouragement from them, because even though it was a time we spent some time in lockdown, we were still able to do so much. We were still able to touch so many people's lives. We're still able to encourage each other as a fellowship. Well, you know, with the serious impact of this disease, the loss of life, perhaps this year more than others, we need to be a little careful, a little prayerful, a little vigilant about how we consider the approach to the year. You know, I don't think it was by happy coincidence that we focused on being a redemptive family last year. I think it was really God's way of preparing us, both last year and for this year. And out of that redemptive family thinking, as we did that as a congregation together, we wanted to be a family, church family that includes everyone, that focuses on discipleship, relationships, and being invitational. And I mentioned to you that I've been reading in these books and articles lately about how the church is to respond to COVID. And you know what? These are the very things they're talking about, particularly the relationships and that sense of being invitational, connecting again with people, but the need to help people with their discipleship so that they know they can find strength in the scriptures, strength from God, strength from the fellowship of believers. And so these things are really important, and I want to encourage you to continue thinking about them. How will you prayerfully apply them as an individual in your life or as a growth group when we come together in these small groups to study the Bible, to grow in our faith, to grow in our fellowship? How will you apply these things to the growth group or together as the church when we're thinking about it on a slightly larger scale? How can we build on these or advance these in 2021? Well, the book How to Walk into Church had a number of ideas that really challenged me. I'm going to bring to you two key ideas, and I think you're going to find these really helpful. These are two important ministries that I hadn't clearly identified before. And as I say that, you might be thinking, John, how long have you been a minister? And there's still ministries you haven't got sorted out in your mind? Well, I suppose we all grow and we all learn. There's a different sort of emphasis. Two ministries that are very, very important in church life. Now, I don't want you to call out, but I want you to think about what they might be. If you were asked, two ministries in the church that are really, really important, what might you say? Now, before I'd read this book, I would have said something like worship and prayer. But this book took a really different approach. And so I came up with some ideas which are really straightforward. I'm not sure if anyone will have thought of them, but it is the ministry of turning up and the ministry of sticking around. It's so important, isn't it? Maybe I've just taken it for granted and not really thought about it too much. But these are really important things to think about. The ministry of turning up and the ministry of sticking around. Something about these ideas, I suppose it's a fresh way of thinking, stopped me in my tracks, really got me thinking. And I wonder how you respond to the idea of these ministries. Do they in some way resonate with you? The ministry of turning up. You know, just being here this morning is the fulfillment of a wonderful ministry. You're already ministering to us all. Just being here this morning is an encouragement to those around you. The writer of Hebrews says in the Bible, don't neglect the ministry of turning up. He used some slightly different words, of course. Let's consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You're just the meeting together to spur one another on. This is what it is in our church family. This is part of our spiritual connectedness to Christ, our unity as God's people. You see, we're spiritual beings, we're social beings. We need our connection with God. We need our connection with each other. And some of these books I'm reading are saying, particularly in a time of crisis, what people need are other people to be able to lean on or at least just know that they are there. Meeting together, that's something that we're able to do. Tony Payne wrote in the book, in reality, what really stops many of us from turning up more frequently to church is a failure to grasp just how vital the ministry of turning up really is. He goes on to say, one of the most important acts of love and encouragement that we can all engage in is the powerful encouragement of just being there. Because every time I walk into the church, he writes, I'm wearing a metaphorical t-shirt that says, God is important to me. You're important to me. And on the back it says, that's why I wouldn't dream of missing this. And then he goes on to state the obvious. None of the important things that God has for you to do each week can happen if you're not here. It's obvious, isn't it? Can't happen if you're not here. You might ask, does God have anything important for me to do when I'm at church? You might think, I just go to church, but I don't do anything when I'm there, nothing important when I'm there. Well, our reading this morning from Colossians highlights some of the important things you do, that we're called to do, to show compassion, to show kindness to one another, to show love, to offer forgiveness. But of course, I can't encourage people if I'm not there to do it. I can't spur them on if I'm not around. I can't show love, kindness, and serve people if I've stayed at home. So, big tick for you guys today. Turning up. The ministry, you're succeeding in this very basic, very easy to succeed in ministry. So, here's another question that he has. It's a bit of a trick question. When does church finish? Well, does church finish when the final song is sung, when the minister says, God bless you as you go into the week, or we say the grace together? Well, that might be the end of the formal part of the service, but church doesn't end then. Church continues as we minister to one another in friendship and fellowship after the service. And this is where the second ministry comes into play, the ministry of sticking around. So important. What does it say about our love and commitment to each other if, as soon as the service is finished, we're out the door? I know from time to time we all have engagements that we need to leave for. We can't stick around every week. But usually, do you stay and connect with your brothers and sisters in the church family? Do you stay around to show your love, your support, to encourage people to take an interest in their lives? There's an old song from the 1700s that has the words, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above." You see, the love and the interest, the care, those are the bonds that are between us, that are evident before church as we're meeting and chatting together, and after the service as we meet together. Now, this comes under the big banner of fellowship. And fellowship is, of course, deeper and stronger than simple friendship. But friendship is a part of it, isn't it? That fellowship that reflects our relationship as brothers and sisters and the family of God. A foretaste of heaven where we will have fellowship with each other throughout eternity. There's a little ditty that I like, which I've shared with you before, which says, "To dwell above with those we love, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell below with those we know, well, that's a different story." And sometimes it's hard, isn't it? The dwelling with the people below. Sometimes relationships are strained. Sometimes we say the wrong thing without thinking about it. You know, this is where the ministries of turning up and sticking around really make a difference. Because we can get to know each other. We can build relationships. We can give each other forgiveness. We can restore and heal. But we can't do that if we don't turn up, we don't stick around. So, it's relatively easy, relatively doable. One of the books that I was reading said, at a time of crisis, don't put a lot more jobs on people. Don't give them a whole lot more stuff to have to do. So here is something that's just so easy. Turn up, stick around. Turn up, stick around. It's just so easy, so doable. And in doing that, we fulfill the kingdom of God. We build the kingdom of God. You know, it requires generosity of spirit, generosity of time, to be kind and loving towards each other, to stick around for that. But it's so, so important. Well, what difference does this make to us? Well, maybe some of you feel all tuned up, like the Formula One car revved up and ready to go, and some of us feel a little less like that this year. Maybe what each of us needs this year is just a little bit more tender, loving care. The love of God, sharing it with each other. And that's what we can provide by turning up and sticking around. And I hope you're able to do that tonight with the barbecue church. just turn up and stick around, sit at the table, enjoy some food, talk with someone, hopefully talk with someone you don't know so well and start to build up some of those relationships. Just do this in a really relaxed and casual sort of a way and enjoy the night. Some of you might like to come early to Epsom next week, 8:30. Is there such a time in the day? 8:30. Because at Epsom we're having breakfast church where we're going to do the same sort of thing. Just going to sit around the table, enjoy some breakfast together. So if you want to get up early for that, do come along to that as well. And I hope as the ministries in our church, the playgroup, mainly music, Zed, ESOL, and the other ministries begin, growth groups begin, that you might just take a little moment to look in the eyes of people. And just think for a moment, maybe today, maybe now, they just need a little touch of the tender mercy of God, the loving kindness of God, the compassion of the church. And imagine what difference that can make in people's lives. A depth of friendship and fellowship we could foster. The love and the kindness and the unity just by turning up and sticking around. And what a witness that would be to the people of this community to see such a church loving each other. Amen.